I'm reminded that it was this time of year many years ago that I first chose my favorite pastor. And because he was a pastor then, I walked into church, he said, "I'll have you out of here in 20 minutes. It was Super Bowl Sunday. And I thought he was about the best ever. And because... because he would get me out of there quick so that I could get on with the important things of the day. There are people that have brains. I wasn't one of them at the time, really. Not that there was anything wrong with the Super Bowl. There was something wrong with me thinking that it was more important that I get out of there quickly than getting something while I'm there. Obviously, in 20 minutes, I got nothing except excited when I got there because I was going to get out of there quickly. And sometimes if there isn't much, you know, to be had, well, then you might as well get out and get done and get something else done. But I was thinking about this. Bernie asked me a question. I've had other people ask me it before, and I've always sort of had the same answer. The idea of a plan and a purpose. And, you know, Hosanna was built to worship. That was the whole thing. We came about because when the spirit of worship came upon us, we started to grow in worship and in praising the Lord. It came alive, and the presence of God came alive, and so that was what we wanted. The problem was is that we couldn't find any place locally that was interested in us doing that. And I honestly did ask, you know, because I wasn't going to be here. I was going to be gone. Come back once in a while and worship with my friends when I was back, but I was going to be out worshiping around, you know. Well, the thing was is that first and foremost, God wanted there to be established a place of praise. That's not, he didn't say no place else was any good. It's just that when something rises up in you, you need to be a part of it. If the Lord calls us to do something, then that's what we need to do. Thank you, Bernie, for answering that call and for leading us in that prayer. And reminding us, you know, when Paul did speak to Timothy, he said, "I want everybody to pray. I want you to believe." And so we do those things. But our purpose is to praise the Lord, to grow up into Christ, and then to let Christ dwell in our hearts richly. For us to, in worship, I don't think there's any place, any time in our lives that draws us closer to God than when we release ourselves to worship Him and to have that love flowing in a good cycle. And as that happens, then it stirs us into other things. Well, earlier in the week, in Isaiah chapter 4, it says, "Then the Lord will provide shade for Mount Zion, and all who assemble there, he will provide a canopy of a cloud during the day and a smoke of flaming fire at night, covering the glorious land." And the Lord spoke to me about being under a canopy, not in a cage like this bird, but under a canopy of the Lord's covering. Now, we have to understand that the Lord's canopy can expand and contract and expand and contract. In other words, His canopy stays with us. And it's a place of protection. Now, the other thing that I see in that is that it talks about being a cloud and a fire. In verse 6, it says, "And there will be a tabernacle covering, and there will be a shade in the daytime from the heat, a place of refuge, and for shelter from the storm and rain." Now, remember, when God brought Israel out of Egypt, there was a cloud during the day to protect them from the heat. And there was a flame at night to keep them in the light. They were led, and they were kept in a place, and then when it was time to move, the tabernacle went with them. I always used to think that must have been, you know, I mean, because when you read about the tabernacle, when you read about the tents, the place of the dwelling, it was a complicated deal. And it wasn't something that you packed up in a little bag and hauled with you. It was something that they had a whole tribe to take care of. And how they must have loved it when Moses would say, well, it's time to move. Because, I mean, we're talking about heavy curtains. We're talking about gold. We're talking about, you know, a big old chest. We're talking about packing up the plant. We're talking about a serious amount of packing. And up they go. And where are we going, Moses? We're just going. They were just going. They were going until the clouds stopped. And then Moses would say, okay, set up the tent. And why are we at this spot, Moses? We're at this spot because the clouds stopped. We're following clouds. We really should be careful not to, you know, complain about or criticize people who just like to lay around and look at the clouds. Hey, we're following the clouds. That's just nothing. That says something to your heart. That's good. I just thought about that. You know, sometimes people, oh, you're just gazing at the clouds. That's not a bad idea for Moses. But, you know, there was no, it didn't seem like there was any reason or any purpose involved in it. Also, remember that the whole time that they were being led this way, they were eating manna in the wilderness. All of their needs were being supplied. Their clothes weren't wearing out. I know, that seems like a bummer. How can you buy new clothes when your clothes won't wear out? Oh, I know people that can explain to you how to do that. Your clothes don't have to wear out to buy new clothes. You just buy new clothes. Right? Okay, so what's that got to do with anything? Not too much, but the whole time that they were traveling, the whole time that Moses was leading them, they were under a cloud, they were being led by the cloud, they were protected by the fire by night and the cloud by day. I mean, they were in good shape. The only thing is, they didn't know what they were in good shape for. Consequently, they complained about their good shape. They complained about the way things were, complained about the manna. So God gave them meat. Till it came out of their nostrils. Gave them meat till they complained about the meat. What he really wanted them to do was to just love him. Just be under the tabernacle. Just be what God had called them to be and do what God had called them to do. Preparing them for that day when they would go into the promised land. But we all know that when it came time to go into the promised land, that only two of them believed that they would be just as protected and even better off than the rest. And the other people, the other spies said, oh, it's a nice place, but we can't have it. Now, sometimes people will kind of have that attitude about, well, I just can't have faith. You don't have to have faith, you have faith. God has given us a measure of faith by his grace to carry us. And so they were under a canopy. And the picture that I had when I first read that was okay, we all know around here, and I haven't been to funerals all over the world, so I don't know about all over the world. But I know that whenever we have a funeral out here, a place at the cemetery out here, that they usually have a tent up. And the tent is maybe to shade people from the sun, or sometimes to keep people from the wind and the cold, you know, but the tent is there. It's set up before anybody ever gets out there. And when you come out there, sometimes people sit in their cars, sometimes they get out of their cars and they come, but nobody goes in the tent. People stand out around the tent, waiting, and when the family comes, they usher the family into the tent. But nobody goes in the tent. Now, there might be a few people that are professional funeral goers that can't wait for the family. Once the family's in, whoosh, they're going to whoosh in there. You know, but for the most part, most everybody else, out of respect for the family, it's the family's tent until the family says, Come on, everybody, get in here. And then people go in. Now, there are always still a few that aren't about to go into that tent. They're going to stand out. Now, maybe it's because they don't feel like it would be right for them to go in. Maybe they feel like they're gonna. I don't know what they're feeling like when they refuse to go in. Maybe they think they're going to leave room, but I mean, I've seen times where people just stood outside rather than going inside when there was still room in the tent. Maybe they don't like it then. I don't know what the reason is. You know, who knows? But the fact of the matter is that the canopy is there. The tent is there. The shelter from the storm is there. It was set up, and they set them up on purpose in such a way as to give the most protection. They set them up in a direction. The walls are up in a way to keep the wind out, or to keep the snow out, or to keep the rain out, if they can do that, or, to stop the wind. I mean, they're set up in a certain way. They're set there for a purpose. And the Lord has set a canopy. He has set a place, a tent of the dwelling, for a purpose for all people. For everybody. That all people everywhere might call upon the name of the Lord and come under that canopy. But for whatever reason, from time to time, the people won't go into the canopy. The Lord provided the tent of His presence. It's the glory over all the earth. He provided this in the person of Jesus Christ. His presence is for the family. Others stand outside waiting for their family to invite them in. In other words, there are people who are waiting to be invited in under the canopy. Now, we can get religious, and we can try to set up ways that they can get into the canopy, rather than just saying the canopy is there for you. I had a strange dream last night. And in part of the dream, we were worshiping, and apparently somewhere in the worship, I was there, but I wasn't there. And when we got done, I looked at my watch and I said, oh, and I'm apologizing to people. Well, there were a lot of people there that I hadn't seen. It was this place, but there were people there that weren't normally there. And so I just said, I apologize for going so long, but the presence of the Lord is just so good, or something like that. Well, but then I got ready and I was going to share a message, and all of a sudden, it occurred to me, I don't have the devotion. I've got to find it. And I had to go find it. I had to get somebody off of the trap door, to get open the trap door, to get down into this place, to get into this certain place where I was. And I mean, I got to tell you, while I'm dreaming this, I'm thinking, this is really weird. And I had to figure out how to get into the spot where it was. I knew right where it was, but it was like it was tricky to get in there, but I found it. Then I woke up and I'm going, this is just too weird. First of all, my first thought was, well, gee, I must not have a clue for this week. I gotta go find that thing, but I knew where it was. We know the word of God is hidden in our hearts. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That the Lord has called us to a place of the canopy, to a place of where, even in my mind-boggling dream and trying to, have you ever had one of those dreams where you have a hard time shaking it off? And you're trying to convince yourself that was just a dream, right? Have you ever had a dream where you had yourself convinced that it was just a dream? And then you were back to thinking, maybe this isn't a dream. And then finally when you wake up, you shake it off, you get the cobwebs off, and it's going to be all right. And I thought about that. I just had to get under the canopy. I had to get back into that place, that comfortable place where the Lord had me, that place of protection, that place that the covering of God has unlimited space. Isn't that good? We don't have to be concerned that God's going to run out of space. We can feel free to invite anybody and everybody into all the goodness of God. You see, the goodness of God, the Bible says that the goodness of God comes on the wicked as well as the righteous. And we have to be cautious that, you know, we're not concerned about somebody unrighteous getting something good. Because the Bible says that it's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. It's the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts that can reach out to people. That can touch people. That can bring them closer. So in a sense, because the glory of the Lord dwells in us, we carry the place of refuge around us. We got the tent with us all the time. Instantaneous. And it's ready at any and all times to shelter us from the storm and the rain, but not just us. We should not be comfortable standing inside, outside of the storm, and see other people outside of the storm without at least saying, oh God, bless them, help them, draw them. For years, literally years, I marched around this entire town praying for this town. Until there came a time when I was bundling up, it was in the middle of the winter, I was putting on my boots, I was putting on my coat, I was ready to go out, and the Lord said, you can stop. Maybe he was just saying I could, maybe he didn't say that I should, but I felt that what he was convincing me of is that now I could sit in my chair and cover the town just as well as walking around, and that really appealed to me. Because the snow was deep and it was cold and it was windy and it was nasty. And for me to go after he said that I didn't need to go out to do it, I got to think it might be a personal pride that I'm marching this town. But during that time, the Lord revealed to me some specific things to pray against. And to release and over the community some things, some spirits of things that had a stronger hold on things, and those things actually had improved. They weren't gone, but they had improved. So anyway, from that point on, then I was able to cover the town, the county, the state, and the world from my chair with my coffee, which is good. But at any time where he says to me, time to put on your boots and your coat again, I'll be back out there. But there's a canopy. There's a canopy that so many people, they don't know about. I had like a feeling of despair at one point this week because I was thinking about some particular people, but I was looking at it and I was thinking, because I knew that this person had no idea who God was and had been raised without knowing who God was. I knew that their children would be raised without knowing who God was. And I'm thinking, God, how? We have so many generations that don't see a need for God. I thank God I grew up at least in a generation and a time where there was an awareness that there was a need for God. But now we have generations that are raised and told, not only is there not a need for God, but it's a fool that even thinks about God. Now, there's a lot more people living today around the world that can see a need for God. But there's a whole lot of people that seem to have bigger mouths than the people who see a need for God, who are perfectly willing to tell people, we don't need God. We just don't need God. Why should we use something that we can't prove to try to prove a life that we can't have? But you see, that's where they're wrong. But how will they see the light unless they see the light? How will they walk in the light unless they see the light? And so we have a responsibility to be under the canopy and to draw people into the canopy, into the shelter, into the tent of his presence. To have his presence close. To have him drawing people. If we lift up the Lord, then the Lord will draw people unto himself. And from that, then, we go to the idea of stirring up the gift. I had this thing that kept coming, stirred or whipped, come into my mind. And the explanation that I got in my mind is that if we don't stay stirred up for God, we can find ourselves whipped by the devil. If we don't stay stirred up for God, guess what? Our love from God can settle to the bottom. Sometimes when things settle to the bottom, it takes a good whipping to get everything back up. So even when the devil's giving us a whipping, all he's doing is getting us ready to whip him back. But stirring up that gift, the Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy, said, "So I remind you, therefore, that you stir up the gift of God that is in you." Okay? Now, Paul, when he was talking to Timothy, he was telling him, stir up the gift of God that is in you. Stir it up. That gift was put in you by the laying on of my hands. Okay, so I'm taking this scripture out of that context and into another context, because it was the only thing that I could think of right offhand that would apply to what the Lord was talking to me about, of stirring up the gift. Okay, God has put gifts in everybody. Okay, you can go to a theological study and they can tell you about how, you know, we are all evil, that we have that root toward evil, that we were born into wickedness, you know. Well, truly, that's true. There was a seed of unrighteousness that was planted that allowed sin into the world, but that wasn't great enough to overcome the goodness that God puts into people. And you can argue that until you think about it. Because there are a lot of people that don't know God whatsoever. But they're pretty good people. And they do pretty good things. And yes, we know, biblically speaking, that their righteousness is as filthy rags. And we all have prayerfully had that good experience where we realize that even the best things that we did without God in our lives were pretty useless compared to what they could have been with God in our lives. Again this week, I don't know why I think about those things, Simon, you know, but I mean, they just pop up and I just start praising God. But I think about, you know, I was thinking about what part of it probably was because I was up at the school substituting, but I'm sitting there, I'm thinking about these kids and I'm going, oh God, if I had known you as a teenager, I'd have been such a better student. I'd have been such a better citizen. I'd have been such a better football player. If I had known him, I might have realized the dream that I had of being a professional football player. Because I might have worked hard enough to use the gift that he'd given me to do it, but I didn't. Consequently, I had the opportunity to go to my college football coach and tell him, man, I am so sorry. I did not play the way that I could have played if I had just known Jesus. Well, he was pretty gracious in that. Just pretty much said, well, Roger, you know, there are certain times in our lives. But to me, that didn't help me much. I just thought, well, you know what? I can't do anything about that now. But I can do something about this. And so the good gifts, stirring up those gifts. Now, we first of all have to stir up the ones in us, the good gifts of God in us. We have to allow God to anoint our gifts. We get stirred up, but the thing that we need to understand is that we've got those things stirred up in us so that they can stir up the good in other people. So that we can without, you know, any reservation whatsoever, be able to tell somebody, you know, that's got to be from God because it's just such a good thing, such a nice thing. This week, I had the basement in the house fill up with water, and it was exciting. And then I had the opportunity to need to have some more help. Because it turned out that it wasn't a sewer backup, it was a sewer plug-up. Something plugged it, and when it plugged it, everything just stayed. So I had some pumps that were recirculating water, filling it up, a little bit of other stuff, filling it up. And so we needed to have Roto-Rooter. The people who came to fix the basement didn't have Roto-Rooter. I had the favor of God. I called, and they were able to come. And so then I was able to tell them, man, you are a gift from God. You saved the day. I just praise God and thank God that you were able to come and do that, because I believe it's a gift from God to encourage people in their gifts, to stir their gifts, to maybe cause them to think of the one who gave them their gifts. To lift them up. Last night we watched a movie called Letters to God. And it's about a little boy that had cancer, and he was writing letters to God all the time. And then they ended up with people reading the letters to God, and then other people writing letters to God, until they had thousands and thousands of letters that people were writing to God. And I thought, you know, I mean, God was glorified in that. A Southern English person might say, well, you can't just send off a letter to God. That's a prayer. That's right. Well, but you got to know how to do it. Well, I got to know how to have a conversation with somebody. How to have a conversation with your wife. Very carefully. Isaiah, you really should be careful. You should try that anointing of silence sometimes. You know, catch it. That's a boy. You see it. Yes. Yes. But truly, you know, I mean, but again, and this, the neat thing about it was, is that the very fact that people began to write a letter to God caused them to consider God. Amen. And once people consider God, well, then they have to consider God. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw people unto myself. But we have to stir up. We need to get stirred up about the Lord and about His Word and about His goodness. And then we manifest Him and we manifest His goodness, and we just lay Him out there to draw people into the canopy. To cause people to desire something better. Everybody's looking for something better. If everybody wasn't looking for something better, advertising wouldn't work. You know, soon we'll have the Super Bowl, and I'll have you out of here in time for the Super Bowl, since it's a week and a half away. You know, I mean, they always talk about what the advertising costs for the Super Bowl. Advertising works. And we should be, you know, free to advertise the goodness of God. Sometimes by name, but better by action. Have you ever watched a commercial? Well, there's a lot of them lately that I must not be paying attention. There's a lot of commercials nowadays. They have the commercial gets over, and I go, what was that about? What were they advertising? You know, are they trying to cause the whole world to think that we're stupid and we don't know? But I think they're stupid and they don't know. If they're going to advertise like that and not tell me what it is. You know? Be like Jeff putting up a big sign down at the lumber yard that says 50% off, and you walk in and say, what's 50% off? Oh, they pick something up, we'll tell you if it's 50% off or not. Oh, sorry, that one's not it, you know. It's like the lottery. People go and they buy a ticket. Oh, sorry, you didn't win. But they got a sign up that shows you somebody that did win. They're advertising. But we get those gifts, that's what God has given us, stirred up in us. and we just let them loose, and then, you know, we may have opportunity to identify them. But it's us putting them out. Somebody said, oh, you know, thank you so much. That was so kind of you. And we can sincerely say, you know, I thank the Lord for the opportunity we have in Christ Jesus. And when someone else's gift comes up and they don't know where that gift came from, to identify it for them. Man, God has blessed you with a gift. You really helped me. Whatever, you know? But if we are stirred up, then that's what we're aware of. We're aware that that's the most important thing of all. Everything else is gravy. Everything else is overflow. Once we have the foundation fixed up, you know, once that rotor router went through whatever was plugging it, it just sucked the water out of the place. It was a lot of pressure behind it to go out. But once that was opened up, it was able to flow. And that's a thing for us that we need to open up and be prepared to flow. I guarantee you that every single person that was at that house that day was really hoping that when that went through, that there was a flow and not whoosh of more coming in. Because, see, there was the question. Was it a plug? Or was it a backflow from the city sewer? Now for me, I'm going, Jesus, Lord Jesus, let it be a plug, let it be a plug, let it be a plug. Because my insurance wasn't going to come if it wasn't a plug. And I had already made it clear that we're going to have a serious problem. But it's going to be a plug, it's going to be a plug. When it started to go out, everybody knew who I was thanking. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And I'm telling these guys, they saved today, and these guys, they saved today. And boy, thank you, your gift from God today. I mean, it was awesome. Why didn't God just drain that thing without that? Honestly, I didn't ask him. I did ask that it not continue to come up. And it did go down. It was my error. I should have said, whoosh! God rooter, get it out. But the thing that the Lord is just speaking to me about is being allowing God to stir up in us. Our first love. To stir up an awareness that God has given us such gifts. We all have gifts. You all have gifts. You do. Whether it's understanding of something that somebody else doesn't have, whatever it is. And those come from God. Every person, the most wicked person in the world that you can think of has soft spots somewhere. And that soft spot can only come from God. The demon-possessed man was more than happy to sit at Jesus' feet to be free from all the demons. There's not one person in this whole world that is beyond the Lord's ability to save and to restore. And a prayer like we agreed in prayer for restoration does more in the world than we could ever imagine. But we have to have that confidence. This is the confidence that we have that when we pray, we know that He hears us. Not just for us, but for everyone. But you know what? It'll stir you up when you're convinced of what God has put in you. Because if you're not convinced He's put anything in you, you're not going to convince anybody else that He's put anything in them. So when Paul spoke to Timothy and told him to stir up the gift that was in him by the laying on of his hands, he was saying, okay, Timothy, you can do this thing. Keep at it. Remember, I lay hands on you, boy. And you receive the gift. Timothy might have read that letter and said, you should have taken a little more time to explain that to me before you left. I can remember a pastor who used to lay hands on me all the time, pray over me in tongues. I should have known that. I didn't know what he was praying for before. One day I was praying with him, and I was praying in tongues, and he said, "Oh, you're praying in tongues." Yeah, well, that's what I was praying for you for. I should have said so. Could have saved me a lot of trouble if you had just told me to begin with what you were praying for me for. I'm praying for all of you that all the blessings of God come over your life and into your life. The declarations that Bernie made in his prayer, I hope that you receive those declarations. And yes, me too, Lord. Me, yes, I receive that, Lord. Everybody have me an extra portion, Lord. That's not greed. That's just faith. And just receive the gift of God. And then keep it stirred up. Keep yourself stirred up. Confident in God. By the time Israel was going to go into the promised land, Moses knew they could make it. Joshua and Caleb knew they could make it. But 10 spies convinced millions that they shouldn't try. And because of that, God said, okay, they don't want to try it. They can't go in. Joshua and Caleb still went in. And when it's time to go in, Caleb was 80 years old. He said, "I still want them out. I'm well able to take it. I can still do it." You can do abundantly more than you could ever hope or imagine when you put your faith in Christ to do it. And if we're focused on what the Lord is calling to do and we're stirred up, these gifts are for a good thing. It's a good thing for good things. And those good things will cause us to stay under the canopy. And under the canopy, you know, at those funerals when there's the canopy, a lot of the people that are waiting outside are waiting for the opportunity to get inside. And sometimes, you know, they're standing right up next to the outside of the canopy to stay out of the wind. Simplest invite into the goodness of God. The simplest word affirming someone of the goodness of God that is in them. We don't have any idea how God does what God does. We know a little bit, but then when we start thinking about it, we know that we don't know much. I don't know in the transformation of my life which little bit did the most. Did a friend with a gleam in his eye saying, "You should try Jesus sometime," was that really the thing that just blew a hole in the flow to open the way for it? A lady asking me, "Oh, have you ever sung gospel music?" Was that the thing? A little precious neighbor that would babysit our kids or go to a Bible study with us, and she went to a Bible study with us of a group that she didn't even think were okay. But she could see that anything was better than what we were. Or maybe I should say what I were. I'm sure that Vicky wasn't much of a problem in her eyes, but she knew it could benefit me. I don't know. I have no idea. There's always those things. Well, when I get to heaven this and when I get to heaven that, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, it will be eternity figuring it all out. Visiting with people, finding out. Will everybody have name tags with lists of people of whose lives they affected on them? And you go around and say, "Oh, I don't hear this. How did you affect my life? Oh, I'm from China. I pray for people in America." "I mentioned your name one time. I don't know who you were, but I mentioned your name, so I say your name. That's how your name on my list." I don't know. What is it going to be like? I don't know, but I'm going and I want to go in style, don't you? And I want to take everybody with me that I can. So write a letter to God. Telling you're under the canopy. ask Him to open your eyes so that you can realize your own gifts and the gifts of those around. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. Thank you for the blessing that you have upon us. I thank you for the stirring in our lives. I thank you for the revelation to everyone as you're speaking. And I thank you, Lord, that we have willing spirits to sustain us, to just receive your guidance in our lives. And Father, I pray that we would be expectant of greater and greater revelation. And I pray, Lord, that the joy of the Lord would be our strength, a bright and shining light.